No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? Happy Thursday, Thirsty Thursday. Kevin Myers not being able to be in, but we want to give a shout out to Myers Cork and Bottle. This is Old School, live in effect, 1040 O Street. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat / Old Cheney, 168th and Maple, where Strick is on the way up to. Before we get started on the NFL stuff, since you guys are going to have BP with DP, Upside Bar and Grill is having a UFC night or bar and lounge or grill. They make some really good food, so they should be put grill on there. UFC fight this weekend. No cover charge, so get there early. I think doors open on fight night, and especially on NFL days. I know at 11 when it's football time, even earlier if it's a noon game. I think they'll definitely be open by 1. Get in, get seating. Again, no cover. Great drinks, great staff, TVs in every direction, and the food is excellent, and they never run out. Mm-hmm. We'll be packed. They've been doing a lot. Obviously, they have great karaoke on Friday nights. This one, they have theme nights on during the week, and karaoke, I think, on Fridays, and then they have something else on Mondays and Thursdays. But Saturday, UFC, make sure you guys go check it out. It should be good weather, so they have some seating outside in the front and the back, but then more importantly, a ton of seating space, TVs and action inside Upside Bar and Lounge out there on about 27th and South. And so we wanted to give them a shout out because we will not be able to have them in studio tomorrow. So we'll say it again here, you know, every segment. Austin, NFL, We know we talked about, number one, we talked about my time in training camp, getting traded, getting released and all that stuff. Which is interesting, you know, before we jump into it, I know we had to cut it a little short. You know, I never knew there was a difference when you get waived, released, and all that other stuff. So I think technically I got waived, I think, because one time I was hurt, didn't necessarily pass the physical.
What is it? Released is you didn't make the roster, cut is you were on the roster, and then
yeah, I think,
all of a sudden you're not, and waived is there's waived, something behind the scenes, yeah, injury.
Yeah, I think waived is, and I don't even know. I think, but I'm guessing waived is you're hurt. Cut is you cut during the season. Released is most likely a money thing. I don't know. Anyways.
Here we go.
You got the designation?
So, supposedly,
good old
cut is a broader term encompassing both waived and released. Waived refers to players with fewer than 4 accrued seasons, while released applies to those with 4 or more potentially.
That's interesting. I never knew that. That's crazy.
But maybe the injury does play into waived versus released as well.
It doesn't matter either way. You ain't there. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter.
Or no. Wait. Here's another part. Let me keep reading here. Waived means you still have a contract, essentially.
Yeah.
Cut means your contract is done.
Yeah, that is true. I do remember that. So, because they do have obligations. Most likely you're hurt or have not been cleared fully. One of the things besides obviously, TJ Watt becoming the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, and obviously Michael Parsons will soon to be the next one. So TJ Watt wants to at least hold that title for, if I'm him, for at least a week or two. Michael Parsons wants to be like a day or two. Mike Williams retires. And, and a lot of people around here probably don't know him. He obviously was drafted by the Chargers. Was a really, really good college player. Showed a ton of potential as a professional player. I'm going to tell you this right now. He played 8 years in the NFL. Then, obviously, I think got thrown under the bus by Aaron Rodgers by not running on the red line or the red line in a crucial game. Got traded to Pittsburgh. Made a couple big plays, but, had a multitude of quarterbacks. Wasn't able to really get off on, the right foot. But I think sometimes when you – I always say this, every short or long career isn't built the same. You got a lot of guys that can play that end up playing a ton of years in any sport, more importantly the NFL, because we're talking about the NFL. If you pulled 20 guys, we're like, that he shouldn't even be playing.
Yeah.
Then you got some guys that their career cut short by injuries. And I think sometimes the everyday fan thinks, oh, you're injured, you didn't work hard enough to get back. You're a big, strong football player. Sometimes it's the timing of the injury when it happens, the magnitude of it, and the opportunity that you really get. And then also, while you're injured or hurt, you make the right decision for yourself before the team. And I think Mike Williams is a prime example of that. When healthy, he one bad
problem.
Dude. He's a problem. And he's big, fast, strong, make 50-50 catches. But ultimately, there comes a time in every NFL player's life as an NFL player that your body, it sometimes gives out on you. And that's the hardest way to go out. Because I'm sure Mike Williams would have liked to play 10 years and kept playing after he was able to kind of walk off the field after a season of being healthy.
Mike Williams had a stretch. So his rookie year in 2017 with the Chargers, played 10 games, only started one, 11 catches. Then from 2018 to 2022, that was a top flight receiver in the NFL. If you look at just that 5-year stretch where he played in all 16 games in 2018, then 15, 15, 16, and 13, probably the healthiest stretch of his career, that's 75 games with 58 starts, 279 catches for 4,400 yards. That's 16 yards a catch. 30 touchdowns, 202 first downs. Yeah. I mean, he had a season in there, Jay, 49 catches for over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
It's 20 yards a catch. That's insane for a guy with even that volume, essentially 3 catches a game.
Yeah, and that's crazy. The thing about it. It was all season long.
Yeah.
Nobody could stop him. No. And that's where you always wonder, what if? What if he was able to stay healthy? What if he didn't have some freak injuries or something like that? And that's just a part of the game that you never get, I guess, enough highlights or lowlights or consideration when you start to describe or, put a stamp on somebody's career. So you want to wish him the best as he moves on. Because one thing, more importantly, obviously, he's very well compensated, really good player. But the biggest thing that he probably can walk away, from is that he's a first-class dude. When you talk to people in or around San Diego, now the Los Angeles Chargers, and throughout that organization, they say you can't find a better dude. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that does not get enough credit. Because as in this day and age of the me before we type of mentality, being a good teammate and a good all-around person doesn't get highlighted enough for any athlete. When you hear about athletes generally on the four-letter network or on Fox or something like that, generally, most likely, it's because they got in some trouble.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get in trouble and you can't run away from it. But I don't think it's near as appealing or sexy to highlight some of the guys that, do the right things and, more importantly, are good people in the locker room, in the community, and with their teammates.
Funky Mike Williams stat from Bleacher Report Gridiron. 100 game, over 100 games played, 330 career catches for Mike Williams. He had more interceptions than fumbles. He caught an interception on Hand's team on a Hail Mary and never fumbled in his NFL career. At least didn't lose it.
Well, he's a big dude. That's crazy, it's hard to get you're hard to get the ball away from him, but those are like the little sneaky stats that, you know, when you throw it to him, you know, I talk about ball handling all the time as far as the, you know, skill positions, you know, playing pitch and catch. And then obviously when you have the ball, being able to secure it, but then also do the right thing with it. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, you always say, you know, you want to give guys, you know, credit, you know, to play 1 year in the NFL, 8 minutes in the NFL is a big deal, let alone 8 years. And it's nothing to look back upon. He's
where do you go to college? I forgot this.
Clemson.
Was Clemson?
Yeah.
Sneaky wide receiver run for Clemson.
Yeah,
as well,
that's what I say. He was the first one, and it was. Was he the first one? No, he was in between.
Deshaun. He was the middle one. He had Sammy Watkins. You're
right. That's right. He was the middle one. And when he went, it was like, okay, he gets the credit from the guys before, and he was a bigger. I think he was more of a cyborg. You know, bigger, faster, stronger. Not as maybe dynamic as far as the short and intermediate routes, but you know, you want to give him a ton of credit, man. And you know, whether it's college or the pros, guys that, you know, laid on the line and decided to call it a career.
Artavis Scott. Remember that name?
I do. Volume receiver. Volume receiver.
Cause Amari Rodgers took over right after Mike Williams left.
Yep. I remember him too.
Artavis Bryant was there right before Mike Williams.
Yeah, and he was enough. It seems like everybody that went to Pittsburgh after a while, they, no matter where they came from, Notre Dame, Clemson, they ended up
being, DeAndre Hopkins, of course, with Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, but Bryant ended up being a knucklehead too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one thing I wanted to ask you about in the second part of this NFL. We won't get into the arbitrator ruling for the NFL on NFLPA encouraging players to essentially fake injuries to get more money. Now you do that because they colluded not to give them any money. So it's going back and forth and everybody's somehow magically airing each other's dirty laundry. You're supposed to be working together in 10, 15 days because we've got a season kicking off. But I want to ask you your opinion on this, Austin. You know, when you talk about wide receivers and I guess DBs, you hear the word diva, right? Mm-hmm. And you talk about off the field. You got, you know, Rice at for the Chiefs. He has to, he has 30 days of jail time now, which is essentially if he's on probation because he doesn't have to go. He has to take like 2 online courses.
Yeah.
Then you have my man Jordan Addison, by the way, of Frederick, Maryland, just to let you guys know.
he's following the Jay Foreman path incident.
He pled to a lesser charge in the DUI case. Now, everybody, I don't want to always label position groups, but whether it's I'm not getting the ball, like Keyshawn said, throw me the dang ball or anything, something like that. The wide receiver position, in your opinion, is it okay for them to be somewhat of divas?
Yes and no. I think that running backs get the diva beat out of them. It used to be a glamour position, but now I think it's just a, you know, you're a piece of meat. Well, we'll grind 3 in 3 years. And then we'll be on to the next.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, I mean, on the low, Jay, have had a lot of rule changes their way. Quarterbacks, right? With the targeting rules, everything over the middle that defenses really can't do anymore.
Dez Bryant catch, you know, where he caught it against
Green Bay.
What, it won't be a fumble anymore.
Right. So I think wide receivers maybe have been allowed to get a little soft, which is where maybe some of that diva attitude comes from. Yeah. Is when you don't have to work as hard perimeter blocking, when it's easier to get open maybe than ever before because of rules, when you have less to worry about when you cross over the middle of the field.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's understandable that it went that way. I mean, you kind of wish it wasn't the case. But these dudes at wide receiver and defensive back are some of the best athletes in the world. Right. I mean, they're matched up against each other for 60 minutes. I honestly think that defensive backs, I don't mind them strutting their stuff as much. Especially the ones that are out there on an island, right? The true number one corners in the NFL that are matched up with some of these guys, you're not going to win 50% of the time.
Yeah.
There's just so much slanted toward the offense that if you're winning 35 or 40% of the time, or you do your job well enough for a couple reps that they just don't even look your way with the ball to that number one receiver, I think corners have a bigger, you know, reputation for being divas But I think at least more of them earn it than wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're out there on an island, and it's kind of like almost being an offensive tackle. You could shut down your opponent all game long, get beat once, and they're ready to run you out of town. And you got to have that blind confidence in yourself that not only you have to lie to yourself all the time that, you know, that nobody's better than you and you're the best athlete out there, but then also you have to have that confidence that was, you know, forged in the hard work and building of steel, you know, mentally, that you can handle, you know, any type of great athlete when you're not in a advantageous position as far as the rules and pass interference calls, so forth and so on. So I just wondered about the, you know, I don't mind it. I think, you know, I'm, you know, like basketball player, you know, because Jordan had diva in him, you know, LeBron and Kobe, everybody.
Competitive arrogance to
right?
some degree.
Yeah. And you're okay with it. You're definitely always okay with it. As long as they're there for the right reasons and they, you know, play and compete and practice and to win.
Because Antonio Brown had some diva in him too.
Yeah.
And it worked for 5 years.
It worked
for the next five.
Yeah. After you know, Buford got him in Bursett, whatever his name is, and knocked the silliness in him. And the one thing about it, people need to realize, like, everybody sees Peyton Manning right now on TV, and, you know, he's a funny dude. Him and Eli. Peyton was a good teammate, but he was there to win. He wasn't there to be friendly. And he definitely had guys that he definitely associated with differently than others, if you really read. But that doesn't mean he was a bad teammate. He was just there to be the best he could be.
And make you the best.
And you had to prepare, play, and live that way, or he wouldn't trust you. And so then that's what.
And Eli would have a beer with you in the locker room, I've been told.
He would, but he was chill. Eli said about two words. So I just think that, and that's another thing. As a quarterback, you got to have that competitive arrogance as well. You got to feel that you know your opponent so good, doesn't matter what the defensive coordinator or defensive players call, that you're going to be able to out-execute them. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I think where people have a misconception on diva players or players that speak out are the ones that are more arrogant. Just arrogant.
Yeah.
And that's a disconfidence with a lot more ignorance in the sense of it becomes all about them, no matter if they make it within the team concept or an individual play. And so that's what you try to not have in your locker room, because that's not probably something that you can generally win over time. But I think whether it's the byproduct of our, you know, sports culture, the way we are as a, you know, society right now, so forth and so on, you definitely want to make sure that you have the people around them, you know, that support them. Because, you know, CJ Gardner who was with Philly, he's kind of like a nickel safety corner. You know, he got traded from Philly. I was listening to a podcast that he's on the Pivot, and he said that Philly didn't want a true competitor, meaning he didn't care who you were or who you are, what your paycheck was. When the pads come on, I'm going to do what I do. And he was very, you know, he'll say what's on his mind, right? You've seen him when he was with Detroit, he got into it with a bunch of the Chiefs and they end up beating him. And then when he went to other teams and then he ended up in Philly, you know, then, you know, they won a Super Bowl. He's a winner. The good thing about it is when he was talking about when he got traded, he went through, and this is where he has a lot more self-awareness that people give him credit for. He spoke to Howie in Philly and he said, listen, I want to go to a winner because I think that would be the best for me and the best for them. Knowing it, going from winning all the time to losing all the time is a very hard thing to do. Trust me, I know. But he said D'Amico Ryans called him up. So I'm going to let you be you. And that's a part of coaching that I think maybe D'Amico gets as a former player, but I think that not enough coaches in general get a credit for, of coaching different personalities, different player types, different egos, or whatever you want to call it, for the betterment of the team, but also for the betterment of the player. Because you'll get a better leader and a better, I guess, veteran presence from him if you let him do him.
When he's authentic. And not trying to be someone else.
Right, because he's like DJ Swearinger. you remember him?
Yes.
I remember saying DJ Swearinger. I said, listen, man, I know you from Rock Hill. you cannot be gangster 100% of the time. Okay? We gotta have
what percent of the time could he be gangster?
1,000 in his mind. He needed to be about when he's in football, that's it. When we're signing autographs and all that, we probably need to be at zero. But he's on. But you know what? There's a place for guys like that in the NFL. Because you know what? They love the game so much. And no, you don't know what their background is, but they play to win. They play for keeps. And that, you know what? I think it's a lost art, a lost quality that we don't have in a lot of athletes right now. And so I think it's a breath of fresh air. And obviously, we want the two wide receivers to be, you know, I think Rice is going to get suspended, maybe Ian Addison as well.
Yeah.
You know, a couple games. And then hopefully, this is the only time that we hear about it.
Which sport do you think has the most divas or the biggest degree of diva?
Right now, presently, I'd probably say basketball based on my firsthand knowledge of club AAU basketball. Because, you know, you see them all the time. You see the dunks, you see the interviews, and they're just, you know, you even got kids around here that, you know, think they're bigger than, you know, that. And then you got the parents on it where football, once you go off the training camp, your parents ain't around.
Football, I think, is a little different, too, because I think you see more holdouts for contracts in football, and I think that might give them a bigger rap for, oh, these guys, you know, they look like divas, money hungry, about the attention for them. And I think it's just so different in the NFL because the contracts are non-guaranteed, because of how quick the market resets. I'm not saying it doesn't in basketball, but I think basketball players show more of their diva on the court, I think, than football players do. And I think I think there's a stronger case to be made for that diva being more present across the board in basketball. But I think if you look at just how it's talked about, you talk about it wide receivers, you talk about DBs, you talk about the contract holdouts, I think gives football maybe a little worse rap than it deserves on that.
Yeah, football's, you know, definitely gets it. I mean, when you look at neighbors in New York, you know, for the first part of the year, he wasn't getting the ball, and he's like, I don't know what they're doing. They're throwing it to me late. It's a waste of time. You know, I think earlier on, so say like 10 years ago, it was a different type of diva, wide receiver, cornerback that came in. Very competitive, played for keeps. Now I think these dudes are just, they just out to have fun. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, they're just out hanging. You know, the viciousness between like AFC North, yes, between Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but not much like Cleveland used to get, you know, used to be, it'd be a down and dirt. It's not like that anymore. You know, you don't have the Josh Norman against Dez Bryant when it was like personal, right?
Crabtree and Sherman.
Or something.
Josh Norman, I forgot about that name.
He made Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant was so mad he had to remove himself from the situation. So I think you don't have that anymore just because of the climate. And I think, you know, real quick, you know, when you think about, you know, we'll go back to the like basketball AAU. I think you don't get the competitiveness, fierceness of like Michael Jordan, Kobe, or the Miami Heat, Cavs, that kind of win or go home. I won't have a good offseason if we lose this game or series, right? And I think it's a byproduct of when you see like club teams, AAU teams, you'll have guys switch teams mid-summer.
Right.
You know, 1 week here, 1 week there, so there's no continuity. But what that does is it creates that more present-day diva because, Austin, you're a coach at said place. Jay's coach at other place. A kid leaves your thing or your organization. He comes to me. Now he thinks, next step, I'm LeBron.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I don't like it over here. So then you start to kind of increase your diva status.
I'm happy to get rid of it. You don't like him acting that way.
Right.
That's two people instead of just one with a negative opinion.
But there's all the one person always points every finger back to
everyone
Austin
else.
And Jake. And so that's where I think the diva comes into it, right? Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm not getting enough touches. I'm not getting enough open looks. You hear all the stuff
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
You know, or I need some more sets ran for me, this, and this. And so I think it's a different type of mentality. And I think football's hard because if you walk in between those white lines, even though the rules are very lax as far as going across the middle, like Reggie Herring used to say, you can run up in the club and get pistol whipped. Still, you can get hit very hard, not as vicious and in life-threatening. Whereas basketball, you even see guys really mad when they get dunked on.
No, they don't take
right?
it personal.
Right?
Now, we also don't see as many, I'm trying to think of the best examples, right, where a guy's hanging on the rim.
In your face.
You're still underneath the rim. He's on your shoulders.
Yeah.
We don't see as much of that anymore because guys don't take it personal to give up 2 points.
No.
So they're not up there trying to contest right, to begin with.
I've seen a kid get dunked on in a tournament and run down the court like no big deal. I mean, and I think as a big man, if another big man drop steps dunks on you, that's district.
That's just on principle.
I got to club you upside your head. I got to foul you. I got to, you right?
Oh, you're not getting the next one up.
Right. You're not getting that one up. And if you do, I'm fouling you. I just need him to just go right down the court. Right. Or something like that. Now, if somebody gets you or you're boxing out and he's running, that's just kind of wrong place.
It happens.
Wrong time. Right. Yeah. It happens. But I think that it's a byproduct of, you know, the whole deal. And so it'd be interesting how things change or, you know, get better or get worse in as far as in college and now obviously professional football.
We got AD chiming in. He says, spitting facts, fellas. AD, congrats on the TJ Watt contract. You did it.
Yeah, he's
hype.
Hey, AD, let me tell you something, man. You talking about a diehard Steelers fan?
Woo!
First of all, if you're a Steelers fan, you are diehard. It don't matter. You know, I mean, that's the way it goes, man. I mean, I always say that before we go to break. I wish there's two coaches I wish I could. Well, probably three. I mean, I got to see Bill Belichick, or you know, obviously one. But two coaches I really wish I could have played for. You know, and I thought somewhat close. Bill Parcells and Bill Cowher. But more importantly, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I felt like I'd fit in at Pittsburgh. I felt like, you know what I mean? I felt like, you know, look, it's kind of like Nebraska's football all the time. I'm from, you know, Frederick, Maryland. It's not too far. You know, I felt like that's just,
sure.
You know, whatever. Just never got the chance. And it's a great organization.
Right.
So, anyways, we want to take a quick break, come back. We'll talk a little bit of NCAA. They changed the power rankings, but more importantly, what position group we need to be, I guess, our Nebraska U version for Nebraska to get over the hump this year. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, old school, the new school way. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, live in effect, 1040 O Street. It's definitely active out here. We usually don't touch those subjects. But anyways, a lot going on, Austin, with NFL season, offseason winding down, and with the college football offseason winding down. That means that, you know, playtime is about to be over. Mm-hmm. And for these young athletes in a position of, say, like Nebraska, it's a lot different than I think in years past. I think the standard has legitimately, I'm just assuming, it's been legitimately reset, right? And the standard is kind of what you do every day, whether you feel great, indifferent, or bad. Mm-hmm. Mindset, intentions, and all that stuff. And then the expectations, I think, are through the roof. And that comes from the opportunity and that's out there via the schedule, the perception, via your own expectations and what you drummed up in your head. But then also, I think it's, you know, where they say, okay, well, it's about time. It's our time. Mm-hmm. And when that, you know, all those three things kind of align and you know, I think when you have a quarterback that you believe in and you're set on, I think you're in a better position than a lot of other teams throughout the Big Ten, but more importantly, throughout the nation to really make some noise. And I think you also have to, you know, temper those expectations because it is still, you know, a young program. It's mm-hmm. the third year under Matt Rhule, or two full years. And then it's his third season. So you got to let these guys go out there and earn their stripes. I mean, the schedule set up for success, but then, you know, it's not going to be easy. And so as much as people would like, in 2025, this team to be like the 90s or let's say 2009 or whatever it is, where you knew when you roll up to the station, we're just going to, or stadium, you're going to bowl them over. You know, it just won't look like that most of the time. You know, guys, they're going to have to go out and win those games. But that's also, I think, the appealing process. Now, along with that, Austin, we did position group you with East Strick. Now we're just going to take it to the home team. What position group has to be that group this year for Nebraska to want? It's kind of a two-part question. To get off on the right foot, mm-hmm. which is a dub, and then at the end of the season be like, that is our position group.
I think if you look at what Nebraska has returning, right, not just guys that add to the program, in terms of returners, it's going to be the running back room. There's a lot of continuity there, a lot of program-raised guys. You look at Emma Johnson, you look at Quentin Ives, and what, year three for him, yeah. Finally, hopefully getting ready to break out for the sake of that entire room. Defensive backfield has a bunch of guys back, lost some names, but I think that the backfields probably have the most returning that you know about and are confident in. By the end of the year, though, I think you would hope that shifts to the offensive line, where you have Justin Evans taking over at center for Ben Scott, most likely. We'll see how he goes. And it's what, third year in the program for him, yeah. as well, I believe. Lutovsky going to Big Ten Media Days, cemented himself as a starter last year. There's a reason he's going to Media Days. The staff really likes him, really trusts him. Then you're looking at, you know, Rocco Spindler. Where does he fit in on the line? Elijah Pritchett, can he live up to the promise that it seems? You know, who's locking down left tackle versus right tackle, that sort of thing. I think there's enough bodies on the offensive line that Nebraska could have that be a strength, but it's a lot of unproven. Yeah. Where I think there might be a higher ceiling for Nebraska to hang its hat is on that defensive line. Again, a lot of unproven guys, and you lose two of the best players Nebraska's had in the last handful of years in Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmaker. There's a lot of names on that defensive line that people are excited about. If three or four of those guys reach what we think their potential is at the same time, that can be a scary unit.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I mean, obviously any team goes as far as their offense and defensive lines takes them. But I think, you know, they both embody each other. And, you know, for me, my group is obviously is being biased. It's going to be linebacker. But
shocker, shocker. Wow, who saw that one coming? Really?
You know, I got legitimate reasons, but I think, you know,
I'll be the judge of that.
I know, right? just because is very good, is a good reason. But I think when you look at the offense and defensive line, I think they marry each other. I think they're going to have to, you know, really come into camp. They can't, there's no days off for them. And what I mean by that is it can't be a day where you completely drop the ball, right? Just atrocious practice. And you can have a practice where you get beat, but you have the right intentions and the intensity and obviously effort is there, right? And sometimes it's their day. Sometimes it's meant set up to for you not to be successful. And that's offense and defensive line.
And that's when you have to be at your 85%, right?
Right. And that's where you talk about, you know, on the offensive line, where you have Justin Evans-Jenkins, right? Where probably tailor-made for center, right? Then you have Rocco that's bringing, you know, a Notre Dame experience. And then you got Pritchett, which is kind of like the silent assassin. Latosky, who earned his stripes last year and started to become, you know, consistent at guard, might be tackle or whatever he needs to be at. They have to be able to pick each other up.
Dude, even Gunnar Gatula played quite a bit last year.
Gunnar Gatula played. He didn't look out of place.
He did not.
So wherever he fits in. So now you have, you know, say like four guys you kind of know penciled in, pinned in, and then you got some viable options and adjustment that you can make at that fifth guy. But really you need eight.
Yeah.
And so that's no different than the defensive line. I think you got Judy, you got Van Poppel, then you got
Keona Davis.
You got a lot of other guys that you can think of that can really fit in there and get in where they fit in. You have the transfer from Mississippi State. You got all these guys that are options. Now they got to become into the rotations. Now more when you move to the linebacker position, where you bring back the likes of Javon Wright, you got Shavers, you got the law firm, you got the young man that earned a scholarship, I think, from Norfolk, all that, whereas he's a crazy athlete. Where those guys, I think, has to be like linebacker you for Nebraska.
I think the one that got the scholarship was the California one.
California. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. Is where they have to be linebacker you is the sense of not only do you have to play well right away, more importantly, you have to lead well.
Yeah. Signal callers, all everything. That important stuff.
Inspire, push, even when you don't want to through the dog days. The third part is
before you move on real quick too, you mentioned the interplay between those position groups.
Yeah.
It's a defensive line that hasn't played much and certainly hasn't played much together.
Right.
You're those linebackers. Yes. You get them in the right spot, but the defensive line success is going to help you out.
Right.
And then the flip side of that, if you think about offensive and defensive lines matching up, linebackers and running backs matching up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That running back group has got to be so hungry.
Yeah.
You know, think about all the conversations we've had or not had about how unproven they are. What does Nebraska have for depth? How important it's going to be for Nebraska to find that next guy or two behind presumed starter Emmett Johnson. Those linebackers ought to be facing a motivated group of running backs who, you know, need to bring their best each and every day. So if you're these linebackers, a bunch of you are just as unproven. A bunch of you has just as much to step into. You got to match that group's energy level.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was going to go. And I want the text line to text in, you know, what group do you think has to be that, you know, position group you for Nebraska to be everything that everybody wants them to be. And I think that they embody each other in the sense of they have to be super motivated because they have like potential and everybody is questioning whether they're for real or not. And it's kind of funny where you look at this team, you know, ideally, I'm sure Matt Rhule would like to sit back and just let them compete and go after each other. And then he's got to be the one to pull the reins back, right? Because everybody's got everything there. I mean, Dylan's got a ton to prove. The offensive line and the individual players and collectively have a ton to prove. Defensive line as well. Defensive backs, wide receivers do. Everybody has everything on the line, right? And it's good because if you look at, okay, say you say on the linebacker room, you got Javon and Shavers as your two bell cows. Emmett's your bell cow. All of them have everything to prove.
Yeah.
They've shown glimpses. But you haven't been able to, whether it's circumstance or bad luck or whatever, you haven't been able to do it and shown you've been able to do it at the magnitude that needs to be at a 10-2 or 9-3 or 8-4, 9-3, 10-2 plus level.
All you've proven is that you can get to 6-6 1 year.
Right.
so far.
Right. Well, the thing is that, and that's where, you know, in order to be, for say Nebraska, you know, say, okay, their goal is to be 10 wins or more, then you got to play like it. It can't be Dylan and the receivers throw for 5,000 yards because you'll be 7-5.
Yeah.
If he's throwing the ball 70, 80% of the time. Whew. Because a lot of those numbers will be what? Empty numbers.
Yeah.
So when you look at the
unless he's Colt Brennan.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're playing like San Jose State and
Fresno State
with nobody and all that in Montana State and all that in the Montanas at home.
At home.
In Hawaii or Nebraska or in Lincoln when it's 40 below zero.
D-Man says, I think it's D-line, linebacker, D-backs, and running backs in that order.
I like it. I like it. I mean, I just think the linebackers and the running backs are it. I think and I'm speaking about linebackers and running backs in the same, you know, fashion. When you have those dudes, which is a smaller group, right? Linebackers are 2/3. Mm-hmm. Running back is 1/2, right? Yeah. Starter backup. You have to be so good that you got to make their mistakes not mistakes. That means linebacker. I've done this before. I remember when Seth Payne got hurt, Terrence Martin came in. And one of the things I had to do is not only play differently, I had to think differently. I had to do my job, but then also play off him and then correct, lead, and guide him. But then if he wasn't getting it, then play differently.
Clean up on aisle B gap.
You better listen. If you had normally have the play side B gap, backside A gap, you got B to B and sometimes C to C based on the inexperience of somebody in front of you. And you can't get mad at them, right? Because I've been in that position. Mm-hmm. And so that's where.
And you probably didn't hear about it from a veteran who was covering for you and you didn't even know it.
I didn't, except one time.
Except one time? Who
one
was
time.
Who
My
was
main
it?
Man, Sean Price.
Ah.
Sean Price.
He let you know?
He's a legend. He played at the University of Pacific.
Gervais Green, you.
Yeah, and he chopped off this part of his finger.
Nice.
He was a guy I had to sit next to in our defensive meetings. And he always had, like, different color Oakleys. But they were Folkleys. They were fake Oakleys. Ah. And so what he would do is he'd go to the gas station. They have them for, like, $2. He'd buy them. Wear them. And he's a cool dude. California dude. D lineman. And he'd always be drinking Pedialyte. I mean, like, no, you know Pedialyte.
Yeah,
right?
Like for going kids. Out of business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Drinking them, like, no, downing them. And I'm like, man, this is like syrup. So I used to put half and half of mine and get two out of one.
Yeah.
You know?
Rookie paychecks, man.
I found out the reason why. I was inactive one game. That means I'm on the active roster, but it wasn't going to play. Mm-hmm. Friday inactive.
Gotcha.
So I'm kicking it like me and my buddy, Minneapolis Dogs, down there on Chippewa Street. Getting into stuff we ain't supposed to be doing. We leave the bar at 2:00 on the way to catch a cab home. See Sean Price literally across the street. He's like, Foreman, what's up, man? I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, you guys are coming with me. I was like, the bar's closed. He's like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Not so fast.
This is New York. It's open to 6:00 and we going all night. I said, okay. I said, how are we getting home? He's like, don't worry, I got it. We come out of that bad boy at 6:00. The cab waiting on him. He's like, you know the drill. We're going to the stadium. He takes us to the stadium. The cab driver takes my buddies home. And I was like, dog, I can't practice today. He's like, he had it. He used to call it the car wash. One Pedialyte, sauna, steam, Pedialyte, back. And listen.
Work your way back down?
Yeah. And listen, hey, Austin. And he would go out there and practice. Like no other. Me? My tank was on empty. And but more importantly, he became one of my best friends on the team. We're playing the New York Jets. And we ran this. I'd started before. And it's my fourth year. Greg came in. And so the defense, so I was the youngest starter. So I was the guy that they always kind of, you know, like coached harder or whatever.
Sure.
So they had this thing, and so if you imagine, if everybody's listening out here, he was in a 3 technique. So essentially, he was in the B gap. So that means outside shade of the guard. Mm-hmm. And I was lined up, I either lined up right behind him, right, or a little bit inside, right, to mess up their count. Mm-hmm. Or I would line up way outside. Well, against the outside zone, we ran called a knife stunt. So he would go into the A gap, then I would have the B gap. Well, they fan blocked it, meaning essentially everybody on the offensive line went to the left, to my right.
Okay.
Well, that's easy for me because I just came down and rocked the center, right? Well, Curtis Martin had a different play. Curtis Martin had a different plan.
And he didn't tell you about it beforehand?
Listen, this dude hit the – Curtis Martin, first of all, I used to be mad at him because he's a good-looking brother, too, because he was dating the same singer that messed up the Dallas Mavs.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Braxton.
Uh-huh.
So he hit – when I tell you he hit this thing like 100 miles an hour, Austin, it's like I hit the dude. He's like, dang. He's like, where are you going, right? So then we end up giving up a field goal, I think, you know, kind of held tight. We get to the sideline. So Sean wasn't on field goal block. So I'm like, what are he waiting for me for? You know what I'm saying? He got his helmet to the side and stuff, looking out there like Big John Studd. He got the thing, like the pitcher. He was like, hey, you effed up. Blankety, like talking to me like as I'm trying to get some Gatorade. First of all, this is when most fat fights happen on the sideline. When you're tired and you want to get Gatorade, or you on top of it, if you knew you didn't mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell y'all about face, the guy took off my helmet, we're going nose to nose, and he's pointing at us, and I'm effing him, and he's effing me, you know, he's like, bump you. I'm like, bump you back, pushing each other. What comes out on Monday in film? He got double scooped.
Oh,
yeah. He got scooped by Kevin Mawai and his name Brandon Moore. Yeah, how you like that, Sean Price? He still had those fake Oakleys on. That's my dude, man. Anyways, that's the difference, what I'm talking about, how you have to play different, and you have to be willing to take a little pushback, Austin. A little brotherly love, you know.
And stand up for yourself.
Yeah, it's called standing on business. I was standing on business. We were forehead to forehead. Hey, Austin, headbutt. I took the helmet off. I said, I got to come see. I know where I was at. Anyways, though, we're going to take a quick break, come back, put a bow on this bad boy. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman? Quick segment here before we get started to talk about some little bit of old school as we go into the fall. I want to give a shout out to my man, Brian Brayman. Unfortunately, passed away from cancer today. It was a Houston Texan. He's obviously significantly younger than I am. Made a huge impact on the team and the community, and then obviously with Houston and Philly. Unfortunately, passed away. That sucks at such an early age. And he was I when I was working for him, obviously in a different capacity, that they talked very highly of him. Came in, special teams demon. But then obviously an even better person. So you want to give, condolences to him and all his loved ones moving forward. So always make that call, shoot that text, try to mend that relationship, at least on your end. It's all good. That shows a sign of maturity that sometimes myself, I can speak, I don't necessarily have, but sometimes you got to try to check yourself. More importantly, for old school Austin, I know we had Whiteboard Wednesdays, but we're going to do a little black shirt breakdown, not both in and out of the studio. So
nice.
Got some stuff cooking at the crib, but then also be able to break down some plays, both Nebraska and plays in general throughout the Big Ten and college football. So I'm excited about that. So hopefully everybody will be able to will pay attention to it. Obviously, ticket listeners always support everything that we do, so I really appreciate that. A lot of people, actually, I just talked to, one of our fans, at Walgreens.
That was, how about that?
Yeah, I was buying some candy. You know, it's great for the teeth.
I know everyone knows you.
Yeah.
And like, oh, it's Jay Foreman. And you say hi to Jay Foreman at Hy-Vee or Walgreens or whatever. But like, that's really rare for me. I had it happen twice at my eye doctor.
See?
Same day.
I'm
not saying I'm a big deal. It's just like, yeah. Kind of weird. People actually do listen.
Yeah,
they appreciate it.
Yeah, they do, and they enjoy it, man. And they like the banter back and forth. And I get compliments all the time, about the job you do. And people know you, and they know your face, and they take a double take or know your voice or whatever. I told you about the time when I had COVID,
right?
And the dude woke up from the dead. I was like, listen, man, you don't got to worry about Jay Foreman. You got bigger things to worry about right now. So we appreciate it wholeheartedly. And I always say this, man, there's times that you don't feel like it, don't want to, or you got a lot of other things going on, but I always try to, be gracious as long as it's, you know, they're respectful of my time. So Black Shirt Breakdown coming this fall. And we'll see you next time you're here for me. It'll be potentially down to Big Ten in Vegas if I survive.
You're going to survive.
I don't know, Austin. I don't know.
Nick will try to make you not survive, but I'm the calming influence.
I know.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, yeah. If I don't make it out of Vegas, blame
Austin. We'll see what DP has lined up for. Yeah. So that's always the wild
part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, right. So anyways, for Old School, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll holler at you tomorrow.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.